Fed meets and Wall Street waits. From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. As is often the case, investors are watching the Fed this week. Let's talk about that with Julie Nieman, analyst at Smith Moore & Company. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Mark.
So the Fed meets today. We will get an announcement tomorrow. Generally, we don't get big surprises from the Fed in the summer months, but these meetings always matter. What's Wall Street watching for right now?
Well, that's right. The biggest problem here is that every time you do make an announcement this summer, all the traders are off on vacation and they hyperventilate when something's done and they're not around. But they will continue to say that QE3 will end sooner. The question is just how much. And so that'll be the big announcement. If you take a look at what's going on in the economy, everybody's expecting this to come to a really bad end. In fact, about two-thirds of all investors are looking for either a recession, a market crash, or inflation, or a combination of all three. A third think that they can do it and pull this off very gently, or at least in a steady policy fashion. I happen to be in that camp.
Now, there is this debate going on in the background when people talk about Fed policy, and there are a few people saying we need to start watching out for inflation. Most economists don't think that's a problem anytime soon, but the dissenting voices are getting louder. What do you make of this debate?
Well, it really depends on how you measure inflation. Everything the Fed looks at, that's all in good order. But then the consumer is looking at everything they buy is going up in price. When you're looking at fuel costs, we don't see gasoline prices going down at the gas station very meaningfully. Every time you go into the grocery store, you're paying more. So from a reality standpoint, inflation is here. It's just who is it hurting?
Okay, Julie Nieman with Smith Moore. Thanks so much.
You bet.
The White House is making the case that the U.S. needs to act on climate change for economic reasons. A new report says that every decade of delay in curbing carbon emissions increases the overall cost of climate change by 40%. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman takes a look.
The report finds that if global temperatures rise 5.5 degrees Fahrenheit from pre-industrial levels instead of being kept to an increase of just 3.5 degrees, then the cost rises by hundreds of billions of dollars. Ted Geyer is at the Brookings Institution.
In their reasoning, this is a global problem, and so they're actually calculating the benefits to the world of U.S. action.
But estimating a global economic benefit from U.S. regulation alone, by reducing carbon emissions from U.S. power plants, for example, Geyer says that's a stretch.
As the administration puts it, put us in a leadership role that leads to these worldwide reductions in carbon emissions. I think that's a very uncertain prospect.
Opponents of tighter carbon regulation, Republicans in Congress and those in the coal industry, say the cost of higher energy prices outweighs any environmental benefits. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Tech companies love to say they're nothing like slow, bureaucratic politicians, but it turns out the bigger they get, the more digital companies need political clout. Capital Public Radio's Katie Orr reports on how the new economy is getting into the old business of lobbying.
Last month, drivers for ride-sharing companies Uber and Lyft flooded the California Capitol building. They were there to protest a bill that would toughen regulations on their industry. Senator Alex Padilla noted the discussion was one that wouldn't have happened a few years ago.
The wonderful challenge that we have on complex issues like this is in large part driven by technology and innovation and things that, you know, 50 years ago people wouldn't have imagined forcing important public policy questions.
Now tech companies want to influence how these questions are answered. Robert Callahan is the executive director of the California branch of the Internet Association. That's a relatively new lobbying group that represents many large tech companies.
Google, Amazon, Facebook, eBay, Twitter, Yahoo, Yelp, Uber and Lyft.
The association also lobbies on issues at the federal level. Callahan says there's plenty to work on, like net neutrality and patent reform.
But also just issues you would never have thought about, like what are the decedent rights to a social media account after the account holder passes away?
But as tech companies start to pay expensive lobbyists, some are asking what that will ultimately cost their customers.
You know, in general, I don't think corporate lobbyists are serving the interests of consumers.
Timothy Carr is with Free Press, a group that works for what it calls a free and open internet. He's especially concerned with how media use is being regulated.
People are listening to music, that are sharing video files. And because it has become much more prominent in the way people use, share, and consume media, it also has a much higher profile in policy discussions.
And the growing cloud of tech companies means they'll likely have a larger role in future legislative discussions. In Sacramento, I'm Katie Orr for Marketplace.
And finally, fans of Burning Man are freaking out a bit after Grover Norquist said he'll join the party. The prospect of a Republican anti-tax activist in his late 50s stalking the Nevada desert event caused many to take to the internet to declare Burning Man dead. But wealthy white men of a different kind have long invaded Burning Man's turf. The event is now a gathering point for Silicon Valley millionaires and the tech bros who love them. They pay big bucks hiring people to help build their camps. They fly home on private jets. So Burning Man, Grover Norquist, maybe a match after all. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM, American Public Media.